We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears its heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning. We are getting very close to Christmas. It is the 13th of the month, so we're T-minus 12 and counting to Christmas Day. And I have a question for you. As you prepare for Christmas, are you blessed or are you stressed? You know, Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year, but it can also be the most stressful time of the year. And I wanted to read to you from a passage. I'm going to preach on this tonight, but from Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38, a very important passage of Scripture. Luke is the only one who includes it in the gospel accounts. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who, moreover, was listening to the Lord's word, seated at his feet. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary, really only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Well, Martha was stressed, and Mary was blessed. Are you blessed or stressed this Christmas? Now, in the studio, because it's Wednesday, and that's a good day for Debbie to join me in the studio. She is here. And so, Debbie, we were talking this morning about the stresses of Christmas, and oftentimes those fall on the woman, the wife, the mom. It seems like so much is on her to make Christmas go.
Yes, isn't that interesting? I think it's because as the hub of the wheel of this thing called family, we kind of are more in tune with everyone and what their wants are, what their needs are. And so the preparation in terms of gift purchasing, gift wrapping, preparing meals, just all these things usually end up falling predominantly on the female.
I guess in some families it could be the man, but it's not in our family.
It's most assuredly not in our family. In fact, I brought Jeff's secretary up her gift yesterday. I said, "Jeff, you might want to come in here while she unwraps it so you can know what you got her."
Yes.
Because that's
it was
just
a home run.
It was a home run. But that's just normally the way things go in our family. It's all you can do to purchase my gifts, and you get a lot of help from the girls even on that.
Yes. Well, I would be a fool not to tap into our daughter's wisdom when it comes to
that's right.
What you like and what you don't like. Well, Christmas time can be very, very stressful because there are a lot of things that we feel like we need to do.
In addition to just normal things, because normal life is still marching on. And then we have all this additional things on top of that that come into the mix.
Right. So if you look online, the stresses of Christmas, or put in something about Christmas and stress, lots of things come up because Christmas can be very, very stressful. Now, we can sing that song, "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year." And when you step back and think about what it's really all about, you know, we get so enamored with other things that just like Martha, that pull us away from the main thing. The reason for the season is Jesus. And Martha had lost out on the fact that Jesus is in my home. Why am I in the kitchen? Why am I not in the den, seated at his feet, listening to his word? I mean, could you have anything greater than the God of the universe come to your home and teach you? And you say, well, I have to miss out on that, Lord, because I'm making meatloaf. That's just crazy. So anyway, here are some of the things that can cause stress at Christmas time. In-laws and family. Typically, you're going to be with family at Christmas time. Not always, and not everyone has a lot of family. But for lots of us, we're going to be with our in-laws, and we're going to be with family members that we may not often see, and maybe we don't get along all that well.
Yeah, it goes back to you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. And so there's just always the potential to have those one or two people in your family that it's just more difficult and tiring maybe to spend time with.
Right. And there can be a lot of trauma in the family, a lot of hurt feelings in the family from years gone by that can make it very, very difficult to be around family members for one reason or another. And so that's a big stressor. I know one of the ladies, Debbie, in our church, she has to, I think they do like four Christmases or
something. Oh, goodness.
So she goes to her mom's and then his mom. And then it's the, you know, if there's divorce in the family,
right.
It's just like the movie Four Christmases,
yeah,
where they're bouncing all over the place.
Yeah, it definitely complicates things.
Now, travel can be very stressful, especially if you have little kids.
Right. And I think now, post-COVID, any air travel is stressful. I have not heard of anyone that consistently is able to say, I had an absolutely uneventful flight process. I mean, there's just delays, there's problems everywhere with the air travel getting rerouted, flights being canceled, you know. So I think travel, particularly air travel, I think is very, very stressful.
Yeah, well, just like with our middle daughter, Amy and Travis, and their two boys, Jack and Chase, you know, they live 4.5-5 hours away. And so we just told them, listen, it's not worth it. We'll come see you. You got to pack half your house with those little boys to come see us. And they scream and cry. And, you know, I mean, it's tough when you have a little kid.
Right. And then flying, I think, would be even harder.
That would be worse. They had to do that.
They've done that multiple times. And we weren't ever brave enough to do that.
No.
We just weren't.
No. I think we didn't have the girls on a plane until Sarah, our youngest, was, what, 6 or 7?
Yeah.
We just said, let's not do that. And it's expensive.
Right.
So how about preparations with meals, buying gifts, wrapping gifts? You've spent untold hours wrapping gifts.
Well, and I think the gift thing has stresses on multiple levels, because it has the stress of A, physically having to make sure that it gets done. B, it has the stress of, am I getting something this person is going to like? Or is this something that they're not going to like? Are they going to feel valued? Or are they going to feel undervalued? I mean, we can just put a lot of pressure on it, on ourselves when it comes to gift giving. And then the financial element of it, you know, the cost that I am incurring, spending money on all these different people, and maybe I don't have much money, and how am I going to do that? And so many people at this time of year go into tremendous debt on their credit cards, buying things for Christmas.
Well, and the difference between a man and a woman is so true. A woman will spend $1 on a $2 item she doesn't need, and a man will spend $2 on a $1 item he does need. And so men can be really bad about shopping because you just
want to get it done.
Yeah, it's damn the torpedoes. We're going to buy whatever. And hey, she might like this. And how much is it? That's $1,000. Well, let's get it.
Boom, know? I'm done.
Yeah, then I'm done.
Yeah, so, but I think those financial restraints, like, you know, if you're really on a tight budget and you're having to go into debt to purchase Christmas gifts, that can be extremely stressful.
Yeah, and that's not very wise. Mm-hmm. And so when we had little kids, we would set ourselves on a budget. Mm-hmm. This is how much we're spending for each kid. Mm-hmm. This is how much we're spending on ourselves. Mm-hmm. I think I exceeded that most of the time. But,
yes.
But you held to it.
I did.
And it would be, I mean, it was pretty frugal. It was like
right.
$50.
Right.
That's all we can spend. And because we just never wanted to get ourselves overextended and then create more stress. You know?
Right.
So how are we going to pay for all this? I shared last Sunday in my message about frankincense. I'm doing a three-part series, the three gifts of Christmas, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And so I was on frankincense. That's the gift you give to a priest because frankincense is incense. But I talked about, as I began the message, a funny little thing I ran across, what not to buy your wife for Christmas. So most men, not all men, but most men, they kind of just buy husbands. They just buy for one person. They buy for their wives. And the wife takes care of buying for everybody else. And I don't know if this is just universal. I know it is with our family. I mean, you're a lot better at gifts than I am. You just think in terms of what the girls would like and the grandkids and that kind of thing. But I buy for you what not to buy your wife at Christmas. This was published in the Reader's Digest some years ago. Number one, don't buy anything that plugs in. Anything that requires electricity is seen as utilitarian. Number two, don't buy clothing that involves sizes. The chances are 1 in 7,000 that you will get her size right, and your wife will be offended the other 69.99 times. So you got 1 out of 1,000 chance. Do I look like a size 16? She'll say, too small a size doesn't cut it either. I haven't worn a size 8 in 20 years. Number three, avoid all things useful. The new silver polish advertised to save hundreds of hours is not going to win you any brownie points.
Oh, goodness. That would be a horrible gift.
Number four. I'm not getting you that.
No.
Number four. Don't buy anything that involves weight loss or self-improvement. She'll perceive a six-month membership to a gym as a suggestion that she's overweight.
Unless she specifically has asked for that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Do you want that?
I don't want that.
Okay.
Well, but if she had specifically asked for that, that would be
a
good
different.
Gift. That's different.
Mm-hmm. Number five, don't buy jewelry. The jewelry your wife wants, you can't afford, and the jewelry you can afford, she doesn't want. And number six, guys, do not fall into the traditional trap of buying her frilly underwear. Your idea of the kind that your wife should wear and the kind she actually wears are light years apart. And number seven, don't spend too much. How do you think we're going to afford that? She'll ask. But don't spend too little. She won't say anything, but she'll think, is that all I'm worth?
Right.
So it's tough being a guy at Christmas
trying
to buy that great gift for your wife. But we need to do it because that's one of the five love languages is gift giving. Mm-hmm. And if you don't speak the language, I'm not a gift giver. That's not one of my love languages. But I realize that, that used to be more of your love
yes.
language. It's not as much anymore, but it's still important. And it's still, nobody wants to spend whatever it is, $25, $50, $100, $1,000, whatever it is. You don't want to have a crummy gift.
Right.
That you're spouse opens or your loved one opens and like,
oh, Jeff, that makes me think of my mom, because my mom, bless her heart, she's been gone now for 20 something years, but she could not hide her disappointment if someone got her a gift that she didn't like.
Right.
Do you remember that?
It
was just all over her face. So it could be quite stressful trying to get her a Christmas gift because there was no thank you so much, I love this, even if she didn't love it. I mean, there's just common courtesy that says, hey, I'm going to just be thankful that you got me something. But she was not able to filter that at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have trouble with that, too. If you get me something that's just like, why did you get me that? I mean, I don't want that. But, you don't want to do that. It's like, hey, thank you for thinking of me. That was
right.
Sweet. And, it's hard to go wrong with gift cards. It's hard to go wrong with
money is a
cash.
Universal gift, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I shared that Sunday. I said, they got one of the gifts from the wise men was gold. It's like that goes with everything. That's a great gift. And frankincense and myrrh need a little more breaking down to understand the significance of those gifts, because that's a strange gift to give a 4-6-month-old baby. So, well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my wife, Debbie. We're talking about the stress of Christmas. And here's our question. Are you blessed or stressed this Christmas season? You know, God didn't give us this celebration of the birth of His Son to be a stressor, to be something that's a burden. He gave it to be a blessing. And God wants us to sift through all the distractions and really drill into the core and the reason for the season, and that is Jesus. He is good news of a great joy that shall be for all the people. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Well, welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff, along with Debbie here, we're talking about the stress of Christmas. Are you blessed or stressed this Christmas? Now, Mary and Martha are a good example of two sisters. One is blessed, one is stressed. And the blessing came to Mary because she recognized Jesus is in our home. I'm chucking everything and I'm going to put myself at His feet. I'm going to listen to His word. That is the most important thing. And Jesus said that Mary chose the good part. Martha was distracted with all her preparations. That word distracted means to pull in many directions, to draw away. And we deal with distractions, especially at Christmas time, that can pull us away from the real reason for the season. So, Debbie, we have listeners out there that maybe when they're just totally honest, they're saying, you know, I know I'm supposed to be excited about Christmas. I know I'm supposed to be blessed. I have everything in Jesus, but I'm so stressed out and I'm just trying to get through the holidays and I'm really not enjoying the holidays. What can they do?
Well, I know for myself, I know for myself personally, I am a major task-oriented person. And so with the additional stresses that come with Christmas, because as I mentioned in the last segment, as a wife and a mom, I still have laundry. I still have grocery shopping. I still have the house to take care of. I still have to cook just normal meals during the week. We still have our regular church activities. So there's a lot of just normal things. Those don't stop with the additional stresses of Christmas that come on.
And you have a needy husband.
And I do have a very needy husband, and we cannot stress that word very enough. But I have learned, just based on my own temperament, because in my flesh, I'm a major Martha. Major Martha. So I have learned, for any kind of holiday season, I start the preparation really early. That way, I don't have the pressure of all of it on me at the 11th hour. And that has tremendously alleviated a lot of burden for me. Like, for instance, I had most of my shopping done probably a few days after Thanksgiving, because I just pick things up here and there along the way and I just hide them away, write it down, hide them away. And then I would think, okay, this one day I'm going to wrap gifts for this amount of time. And whatever I was able to get done in that amount of time, that's what I got done. And I put it up so that I didn't just wear myself out right doing it. And so I just try to really pace myself. And that goes back to me being so task-oriented.
And disciplined.
And disciplined.
Yeah.
And so
You chip away at things.
I chip away at it because I know trying to get it all done at the last minute would suck the joy out of the whole thing for me. And so I have just learned that about myself. I own it, and I just make adaptations that work for me. So I think that's an important element to make sure that you have a strategy in place ahead of time to deal with everything, because unexpected things are going to come up.
Right.
And if you wait till the 11th hour to get everything done, you're putting stress on yourself that you didn't necessarily have to put on yourself. You've chosen to put it on yourself.
Well, one of the things, the nice things about technology, especially for many of us, is we can shop online.
Yes.
Where you weren't able to do that, you know, 20 years ago. And so you can find things, and man, they'll ship it to you in 2 days. And but you can't normally do that on Christmas Eve.
That's correct.
And so I used to shop on Christmas Eve when we first got married, and I never thought twice about it. But then I realized, man, the good stuff is kind of picked over.
Right.
If you shop on Christmas Eve, the stores aren't out of product, but they might be out of a lot of the good stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, here's the stuff that never sold.
Right.
You know?
Well, and I think too, for most of us that are going to be hosting a family meal in our homes, we have to remember that less can be more. Like, we don't have to just cook ourselves into the ground to provide all this food that honestly a lot of it will get thrown away because we've just prepared entirely too much of it. So I think we can simplify some of those things as well. And if cooking is not your thing, if that causes you stress, there is no shame in ordering food. There's no shame in divvying up a meal and having different people in your family provide a side dish, provide a dessert, provide whatever. There's just no shame in that, because that goes back to the whole idea of focusing in on the important.
Right.
And focusing in on, okay, hey, we're going to have family time and I don't want to miss any of this. Because honestly, especially now that we are at our age, you know, we're not so young in springtime in our 20s anymore. Every year when we get together as a family, specifically with extended family, like with your family in Houston, that could be the last year that we're all there.
Right.
You know, this could be the last year that this particular group of people are able to celebrate this holiday together.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be with my mom. She's 95, 94.
90.
Anyway,
she just had a birthday in October. That's why we're confused.
Yeah, she's 94 or 95. She's up there.
Yes, and she will tell you straight up, I'm living too long.
Yes.
But I think that as we've gotten older, we've seen the value of just spending time with family, not with all the preparations being elaborate. And I think too, in this day in the age of social media and Facebook, you can really get into the comparison game all too easily, and get very overwhelmed thinking you've got to live up to some of these pictures that you see of other people's homes and meals. And it just really doesn't have to be that way.
No. So Proverbs 17 verse 1 says this: better is a dry morsel and quietness with it than a house full of feasting with strife. So yeah, the meal doesn't matter all that much. I mean, if you have a choice between the meal being a home run versus being stale bread, well, I'll choose the home run. But at what cost? You know, if you have everybody emotionally miserable,
right,
who cares that you made filet mignon?
Well, I know that normally on Thanksgiving for our family, we do the turkey, we do the dressing, we do all the quote holiday foods. But when Christmas rolls around, it's like, we don't have to do that. We're not going to put ourselves in that box. We might have spaghetti, we might have ham, we might have pizza. I mean, you know, we don't have to have this elaborate thing. You're looking at me like, hold it, wait a minute.
We normally just do breakfast.
Yeah, we do. We normally, as our family, we celebrate with a brunch. And so we just have a really fun breakfast with all kinds of different casseroles and breakfast pizza and waffles and donuts and things like that. And that's our time together. And we don't have a meal at all. And so there's just a lot of different things that you can do to alleviate the pressure of that performance-oriented kind of experience.
Well, I ran across this. It talked about ways to de-stress your Christmas, and some of these we've already talked about. But number one, reduce financial stress, agree on a budget, and then stick to that. Number two, I like this one, connect with community. You know, if you're depressed, this was Carl Menninger said, what do you do for somebody? He was asked this question once. He's the psychiatrist. What do you do if somebody is on the verge of a nervous breakdown and so depressed? And he said, what would you tell him? He said, I would tell him to open the shades in your house, get out of your house, mow somebody's yard, do something for somebody else. You got to quit just sitting in a dark room, you know, contemplating how horrible your life
just
is.
Just being so self-focused.
Right. So connecting with community, that's why church is such a wonderful place, because it connects you with people. And as you get connected to the church, you have people that care about you, people that pray for you, people that encourage you.
Check on you.
So be around people, do for others. Hey, you want to know a place where you can go at Christmas time to make a difference? Think about a nursing home. Mm-hmm. You know, those older people that no doubt a lot of them feel forgotten and just alone. And I mean, they're with people, but nobody's really seems to be checking on them in terms of how are you doing emotionally. Mm-hmm. You know, they check on them physically. But go there and just minister to the people and encourage them and pray for them and, you know, things like that you can do for them. And then number three, you mentioned this, Debbie, stay off social media.
Yes.
You know, if you're down in the dumps, don't look at how everyone else is doing so wonderfully. They're probably not, but right. They're presenting to you that our family is so happy and everything is so good. And, you know, social media is everybody's highlight reel. You don't put on there, we're on the verge of divorce, pray for us. You know, that's typical. Not on social media. Good, because it doesn't need to be on there. But so stay off of that. Cope with family conflict. I remember my dad said this to me once. He said, you know, he served in the Merchant Marine when he was a young guy, and he said there were two rules in the Merchant Marine for the mess hall. He said you could not talk about religion and you could not talk about politics, because those two can create conflict and arguments and get people angry. So that was off limits in their chow hall. And so maybe around the table, you need to say, hey, we're not talking about that this Christmas, because if that can cause a lot of fireworks. And I've learned too with family, I've told people this a lot. Listen, as a believer in a family of unbelievers, if you go in there to the family occasion and you think, I'm going to witness to everybody and I'm going to be the Apostle Paul, I think it's important to witness to your family members, but you do that once, and you don't do that in a big group. You do that individually. But then we talk about shine and share. Quit sharing, just shine, and let them ask you about it. Because if you go in and you're preaching sermons every time you're around family, they don't want to be around you. Mm-hmm. But they, you know, they're attracted. If the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Jesus is on your life, they're going to smell that, and they're going to recognize, hey, there's something different about my family member. I like the love and joy and peace that exudes from his or her life. So that can help you. And then stay away from alcohol. Lots of people get inebriated at the holidays. That's like the opposite of what this is all about. Mm-hmm. And so stay away from that. There's nothing good that comes from that. Mm-hmm. There's only conflict that comes from that. I shared with the church last Wednesday night. I said, you know, alcohol can be one of those gray areas. Here's my attitude toward it. Wine is a mocker, strong drink, a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. If you want to be wise, stay away from it. You'll never get intoxicated by wine or alcohol, strong drink, if you don't imbibe, if you don't drink it. And so there's no upside. All there is downside. And marriages and families have been wrecked and ruined because of alcohol. So I just think you're much, much better off staying away from that. Well, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you. And if you're stressed this Christmas, maybe we can help you with that and getting back to what is really important.
You know, I was thinking, Jeff, as you were just talking about the shining and the sharing, with family, it's so important. The shine element is so important, and it's hard to do that if you have allowed yourself to be a Martha in the season. If you're stressed out about everything, chances are you are really not shining well, because your frustrations come out your short-temperedness comes out, your feelings of I'm doing everything and no one else is doing anything,
right.
You know.
Lord, tell her to help me.
Right. All of that comes out, whether it's verbalized or not, and that is not a good way to shine.
No, or nor is it a good way to shine by being negative about everything.
Right.
You know, many of us have to stop and take inventory and really listen to what's coming out of our mouth. If we're whining and griping and complaining about everything, that's a terrible witness. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, do nothing from a grumbling heart. Do all things, this is how it words it in the New American Standard, do all things without grumbling or disputing, without grumbling or arguing. And think about how the Lord dealt with grumbling in the Old Testament when the children of Israel would grumble in the wilderness. Well, he hated that. And he said to Moses, they're not grumbling against you, they're grumbling against me. And when we grumble and mumble and whine and gripe and murmur and it's never good enough, that people pick up on that. Nobody likes to be around a negative person. Mm-hmm. We love to be around a positive, encouraging person, but a negative person who's always a Debbie Downer, sorry, Debbie.
That's I'm not a downer, I don't believe.
But that's not any fun.
No. And it said something the other day, I forget, I was at the office and I was mentioning some kind of glitch that I had had and something that I was doing, and I looked at the girls. I said, well, you know, bottom line, the first world problems, right? I mean, how much can you complain, really? Because any issue and problem that we have in America is light years ahead of most of the world, mm-hmm. in terms of the circumstances in which they're living. And so you have to kind of keep things in perspective and minimize those things and maximize the good.
Well, and focus on the good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people, and all the people includes you. For today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Get the big picture down. Jesus came to save me, and I can be forgiven. I think about the three things he said to the woman who wept at his feet in Luke chapter 7. Your sins have been forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Hey, if I know all my sins have been forgiven, if I know that I'm saved and secure, and my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I know the Lord is with me, the Prince of Peace is with me, and he tells me to go, not in guilt, not in shame, not in depression, but go in peace. That makes all the difference in the world. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. The number to call is 888-589-8840. We'd love to take your call. We'll be right back after the break. According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding. And preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they're trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget as they rescue over 200 babies' lives every single day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chances at life doubles. So please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies' lives. So be generous. You will never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking about the stress of Christmas. And Debbie, here's a question for you. How can I enjoy Christmas again? You know, lots of us, when we were kids, we looked forward to Christmas, and especially in the era that we grew up in. And I'm younger than you are, but we...
Oh, please. You're 25 days younger than me.
It's just younger. So I guess we could say we grew up in the same time period.
Yeah, I think we could safely say that, okay. Yes.
But you know how it was for us. We were excited as kids about Christmas.
Yeah.
And then you get older and you can kind of lose some of the excitement. And so the question was posed, you know, how do you get that back? Because we want to, that's why Christmas movies are popular, because people want to feel that magic again, you know, about the season and all that. And so I ran across this one thing, and it says, go back to your traditions. Do the things that you used to do that were so fun. And so what would that be for you, Debbie? Some traditions that you associate with Christmas that have been a blessing to you over the years?
One thing that we used to do before, when all of our kids were living at home. Now, this is not possible for us to do now because they're not all living at home. But when they were all living at home, on Christmas Eve, we had a family talent show. Uh-huh. And that I still think back to some of those talent shows, and like we had prizes, you know, first prize, second prize, third prize, whatever. And at first we had every individual had to do a skit, and then as our family kind of grew, we had boyfriends, whatever. We started matching people up, and it wasn't necessarily husband and wife that were matched up, but we just matched people up together. And that was some of our funnest Christmas times traditions, was just the funny skits that they would come up with.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'd love to hear about your traditions or a question about being stressed.
Oh, I have another funny one. Yes. Can I have another tradition? Yeah. And we still do this.
Okay.
We still do this. Jeff does all the gift tags.
Yes.
All the gift tags for the gifts. And so I have written down, you know, what all we're getting everybody. And so he knows how many gift tags per person he's got to produce. And he'll just make up funny stuff. Like for our middle daughter who went to the University of Texas, every year she'll get a gift from Mac Brown. You know, so he just has different things that he does. And that is one of the highlights. That's the first thing people do, is they always read the gift tags. So that's just kind of become a tradition in our family as well.
Yeah. So we'd love to hear from you, 888-589-8840. And so we have Janine on the line from Texas. Janine, welcome to the program.
Hi, good to be here.
Yeah,
so I
want
to ask
calling.
Your tradition question.
Yes,
so
sir. Yes,
for about over 25 years, we have been getting together on Christmas Eve. And when the children were at home, of course, we were there at home, but now they're all different places. We get together if we can on Christmas Eve, and we have pizza. And everybody gets to choose what kind of pizza they want, so you get individual pizza. Everybody gets their pizza. And on Christmas Day, we have leftover pizza.
Sweet.
I love that.
Sweet. Do you do paper plates or real plates?
We don't have plates at all. I get the box.
There you go. My gal, that's my kind of gal right there.
I love it. Now, do the kids like that?
Yeah. They do, and they've carried it on their own homes and traditions. We're not all together in Texas. I have people in Virginia, all over the place my kids are. But they do it at their houses. So it's just, we can get together Christmas Eve and talk on the phone. Hey, you got your pizza? Yeah, we got our pizza. So
that's cool.
It started a long time ago. What happened was I was just exhausted. We had foster kids and foreign exchange kids. We drove a 15-passenger van. It was full of kids. And we said, well, I just can't do it. I can't do all this stuff on Christmas. I'm not going to do it. So I said, we're going to have pizza. So the first year, this is a Jesus story. The first year we had Christmas pizza was the year that I made that choice. And then I ran out of money. I'd have no more money. I was out of cash. I had last minute things came up, kids needed medicine, all kinds of stuff. We had no money. We went to church, and I told my husband, I said, I don't know how we're going to have pizza. And the kids all know we're having pizza. I don't know how this is going to happen. So we went to church, and we sang our Christmas carols, got back in the car, and my husband was late getting into the car, and he said, hey, the guy that sits right behind us stopped me, and he said he wanted me to give you this, and he had his fist closed, and he said, now, he said I couldn't open this till I got to see you. So we got in the front seat, and he opened his fist into mine, and it was $100.
Oh, how
and
cool.
We were able to buy pizza that first year with that $100 bill.
Oh,
and
wow.
So anyway, it
that's
was that,
so cool.
That's my Jesus story, so we hang on to it. We hang
yeah.
on to
absolutely.
It.
That's awesome.
Amen. What city are you in, Janine?
So I'm in Palestine, Texas.
Okay.
There you go. Okay.
Not too far from us. Very
oh,
good.
Oh, no, not too far.
Good. Well, if you ever make it to Texarkana, come visit us at First Baptist Texarkana. We'd love to see you.
I will. I will do that. Yeah, we'll do that. Not too far away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Janine.
Thanks
Thank you for calling. God bless you. We have Katie on the line from Alabama. Katie, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff and Debbie. How are y'all?
Good. How are you?
Good. So real quick, I wanted to ask, last year I received a Christmas present from my sister-in-law that genuinely deep down hurt my feelings. And I'm a very, very, very grateful person with everything. But it was a gift that was like three sizes too large. I tried to return the gift. Anyway, and I told her, I said, look, I'm very grateful, but this genuinely hurt my feelings. And she's blocked me from all social media. She's blocked me from text messaging and everything. And I've tried to make things better. I've tried to reconcile the relationship. So how do I reconcile the relationship? What should I do? And I'm not trying to be right or wrong, but how, like, I am a very grateful person. Am I being ungrateful when it was a gift that hurt my feelings?
Mm-hmm. Do you think she did that on purpose, Katie?
Well, she does. She's a bodybuilder, so she's very fit, and I'm a little curvy. I usually wear like a large or extra large, and she bought me a 2X, shirt, and gift giving is my love language. So I took that very,
personally.
So it just genuinely hurt my feelings, you know, that when she thought about me, she thought, oh, she wears a 1X,
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think, first of all, reconciliation takes two people. And so, you know, there's a verse in Mr. Bible, he'll here would be able to quote it exactly. But as far as it is between you and someone else, you have to be right with God and right in your own heart. And I think, you know, there's a time for self-reflection, like, okay, was I too sensitive about that? And I don't know. I don't have the answer to that question. Only you know the answer to that question. And but you can't make that relationship right. You can only move forward. You've apologized. You've sought reconciliation. So there's really, the ball is in her court in terms of that. But in terms of proceeding forward, you know, I think it's probably in everyone's best interest to just let those kind of things just kind of slide most of the time, and especially if you look at it and you evaluate it and you think, well, you know, I'm just going to give a family member, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And sometimes that's very difficult to do when you've been hurt and when you're wounded by something, but to go back to that, okay, I can't get inside their heart, I can't know their motive, and so I love them, and I'm just going to give them the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to move on.
You know, another thing, Katie, that if the situation lends itself to this, is just to be honest with your sister in a note and just say, hey, you know, I appreciate you buying me that. Here's the thing, you know, you're so fit, and it just kind of, you know, it hurt me because I took it, you know, this is, you know, you kind of just put it on yourself. You probably didn't mean anything by that, but I took that kind of personally. And so, you know, I know I shouldn't have done that or whatever. So the verse Debbie was mentioning is Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And so just make sure your part of the street is cleaned up, and you accept responsibility for anything in the break in the relationship. Lord, what did I do that could have broken that relationship? I want to make that right. Now, the broken relationship may be 90% her fault and 10% your fault, but take 100% responsibility for your 10%. And ask her, just say, hey, sister, I was wrong in this, and I ask you to forgive me. And see if that doesn't trigger something in her that would say, well, you know, I was wrong to do this too, or whatever. Oftentimes it does. Doesn't always, because that person can be very hard-hearted. But at least you know, hey, as far as I'm concerned, in my heart toward my sister, I don't have any bitterness. And that allows the Lord to really work.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you guys. Y'all have a Merry Christmas.
You too.
Thank you for calling in. God bless you. Well, we have Caleb on the line from Arkansas. Caleb, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
How are y'all doing?
We're doing great. How are you, Caleb?
I'm doing well. Starting off my morning by going and getting some coffee.
Well, good.
I just wanted to come on and share a couple things. Y'all were talking about reviving the Christmas spirit and traditions, and I thought I had a few that I could definitely share that might help somebody.
Sure, go ahead.
So the first one, and I actually forgot to share this. I can't remember who I was speaking to when I called in. The first one is on Christmas Day, reading the Christmas story. And I think that's just a big part of, you know, Christianity and going back over where everything started with Christmas. So that's definitely number one. Number two is, I just remember, if you have kids and you're listening, the most fun part about my Christmas morning when I was a child was waking up at the crack of dawn, 5 a.m., and running downstairs to find my Christmas stocking. And Mom and Dad always packed it with goodies and treats and stuff, so that's definitely one of my number two favorite things, getting in the Christmas spirit. Number three would be dressing up as Santa Claus. If you are, I guess, friendly enough or outwardly enough, dress up like Santa and go to a busy public place. In a matter of minutes, you'll be speaking like Santa Claus, and you know you'll really you'll feel like you're in the Christmas spirit. And then, last but not least, I would definitely have to say going out and Christmas caroling. My family is very musical, and we all enjoy Christmas caroling. And I think Salvation Army, you could actually be a part of being one of those bell ringers out front of the stores, and you could also Christmas carol. That's a lot of fun. So,
amen. Hey, those are great ideas, Caleb. So thank you for calling in. Thank you for sharing that with us and with the listeners. And so we'll take those to heart. But God bless you, and I hope you have a Merry Christmas. Well, Debbie.
I was writing something down as Caleb was talking.
What was
because
that?
It goes back to the verse that it's better to give than to receive.
Uh-huh.
And so I think when we focus in the Christmas season on giving, that's where so much of our joy comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And so the focus is not a narcissistic focus on self, but it's an outward focus on blessing other people, on just focusing on others. And I just think that's so important, because all too easily, we all have a tendency to focus on self. I mean, that's just at the core of our sin nature. And so to break free of that and focus on other people, there is so much joy that comes with that. Stepping outside yourself and looking to help other people.
Exactly right. And so you get a lot of joy when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
When you get a lot of joy when you help people that can't pay you back.
Right. Or that aren't expecting it.
You know, here's something too. So if you have the means to do this, when you eat out in this Christmas season, and you know, like I said, we're T-12 and counting, but really bless this server. Do something, go over and above. You know, if you normally give 15-20% tip, give a 40% or 50% tip.
This is an interesting piece of information, which I just read the other day, and I was not cognizant of this. So this is something our viewers might want to know. Try not to leave a tip on your credit card. Try to leave cash as a tip, because those waiters and waitresses do not receive that tip money that day. They don't get it until they get their paycheck.
Oh.
So if you leave a cash tip, they get it that day.
Yeah.
So that can make a big difference in their lives.
Amen. Well, you've been listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with Debbie. We were talking about the stress of Christmas. Hey, the Lord wants us to enjoy this Christmas season as we focus in on Jesus, the reason for the season, and the fact that the Savior has come to deliver us from our sins and to give us a future and a hope, and so we can be blessed. Hey, go out today, shine and share, and let God use your life as His witness, and God will be glorified. God bless you. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.